Hey, I told you to move the beans.
All you have to do is move it.
Move the beans.
Hey, move the beans.
M-O-V-E.
This is the Move the Beans podcast. Stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. Here's your host, Dan Abaticola.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Move the Beans podcast, stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. This episode is brought to you by Dominion Lighting and Solar. They exist to create a healthy and sustainable world. Reach out to Dominion Lighting and Solar at dominion.solar for all your LED upgrades and your solar arrays, especially if you are a small business owner in the Chicagoland area. They can help you with all of your energy needs. Hey, so I figured with the big game coming up, Super Bowl 54 this Sunday, thought it would be pretty fun to have my cousin Donnie Sullivan in studio to talk the big game, talk about prop bets, to talk about maybe betting a little bit. He's kind of an expert in all of those. And so we're going to have some fun talking about the Super Bowl and how you can maybe enhance your party or your gathering with some fun non-wagering prop bets, which I never even knew existed, but they're pretty crazy and he knows all about them. He also talks about numbers and who's favored, and I have no idea what he's talking about. So it's pretty interesting and pretty fun. He's an awesome guy. It was great kind of catching up with Donnie, and I know you're going to love our conversation. So let's jump right in the studio with my cousin, Donnie Sullivan. See, we are in studio with my, not only my buddy, but my cousin, Don Sullivan. How you doing, Don?
How you doing, Dan?
Good, good. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is, you said you're a little bit nervous.
A little nervous.
It's like, okay, so we're in the podcast studio here, and I'm looking across this conference table, and I'm like looking at like, you call central casting for any like mid-level mafia guy, and that's what I'm sitting across from right here. So, okay, so anyways, Don is my oldest cousin on my Sullivan side. My aunt Elena she has five boys, and Don's the oldest. But I don't know you as Don. I got to call you Donnie for the rest of this.
That's what everyone calls
me. Oh, everyone calls you Donnie still. Okay, so because like I'm looking at social media and like Facebook and whatever, it's Don Sullivan. I'm like, I just can't.
Be honest with you, everybody calls me Sully.
Oh, really?
That's what the majority of people do.
Sully, okay. So my brothers and I, we have four in our family, and then Sullivan boys at five. And so we kind of grew up together, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
I always remember you and my brother Mark, who passed away a couple of years ago. You and Mark always we would always get together, and then there would always be some kind of a scrum, and you and Mark would be like wrestling around the front lawn.
We were born on the same day, and our parents lived in the same building, and they both went to the hospital at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
So your mom and dad lived on the second, mine on the first, and they went to the same hospital, same time, and Mark was 3 or 4 hours earlier.
Yeah.
He was born 3 or 4 hours earlier and never let me live it down. He was always the older one.
So you guys were kind of like brothers almost, right?
Almost.
Yeah. Jeez, that's crazy. And one time, my parents were divorced and then your father passed away. Mm-hmm. So we ended up, talk about crazy. We ended up living in the Sullivan's house with Aunt Elena, five boys, and then Mark, I think we said Mark was out of the house mm-hmm. already. He was with my dad. So it was like eight boys and two women in a house.
In a three-bedroom house.
And I remember there was like, it was Italian house, you know, so Italians coming in there.
We ate good.
Well, we did eat good, but I remember vividly one day, because that was back in the day where it was like, you had to have liver and onions once a month. Like the Surgeon General said you had to have liver, like feed your kids liver.
Yeah.
And I remember your mom and my mom sitting around us like yelling at us because we were... And they said we couldn't get off from the table unless we ate our liver. I think we sat there for 4 hours. And we were just joking around and messing around.
No one wanted to eat.
No, and they were getting so ticked off because we just sat there and goofed around.
Yeah.
And I think eventually they told us we had to go lay in our beds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all got punished. Nobody ate the liver and onions.
Oh, that was gross. I don't think liver and onions, well, no one should eat liver and onions, but especially Italian families.
No
don't be doing that. So I remember in the you had like plastic on everything, typical Italian. And we used to turn over the plastic runner with the little nodge in the hallway. And then like you'd walk over it.
Someone would walk with no shoes on.
Yeah, and they'd start screaming. Yeah. So good times, probably a little bit more dysfunctional than I would say. But we probably ran the neighborhood. Well, you guys ran the neighborhood before we got there.
Yeah.
And then it was just three more goofs running around with you guys.
It was insane to say.
Definitely. So I got my cousin Donnie here on this episode. We're going to talk a little bit Super Bowl Sunday, because at the time of this launch of this podcast, January 28th, as it launches here, if you're listening the day of it, of launching. So we're 5 days away from Super Bowl 54 with the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. And so what I always kind of thought about and knew about my cousin Donnie here is when I see him on social media, particularly on Facebook, you always have, and I know you have a pretty strong background in athletics and just sports in general. You coached a lot. You played a lot. I mean, you guys really into basketball, weren't
yes.
you? Growing up. Okay. But currently now, and we're all old and we can't play anything, you know, so we're all out of shape. But I see like when you make posts on Facebook and stuff, I always get impressed because you really do it in such a way where it's like thoughtful, it's logical. When you talk about a team or their problems, it's not emotional. You're not one of those crazy fans who's just screaming. You kind of say, hey, here's an issue. Here's a problem. And you just kind of do it really logically. So you're almost like a novice sports expert, if that makes sense. I think you make sense.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see, you're not one of these Goombas that listen to sports radio, I don't think. These guys that are like, just like yelling and screaming about their team not winning.
I listen to it. I never call in.
Yeah. See, yeah, you probably don't.
How would I not listen to when your brother was on the radio?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But you're not one of those guys who just sit there and yelling, going crazy.
Oh, no, not at all.
So I figured we'd have some fun talking, kind of be mixing up a little bit here on the Move the Beans podcast, talking about a specific game, which is the Super Bowl, because it's turned into more than just a game. It's like, it's the halftime show with all the, you know, the weird kind of, you know, like artists they have on there. And if you talk to some other people, they have a lot of, and maybe this is the first time you're hearing it, but there's tons of like satanic and Illuminati kind of references in the halftime show. Did you ever hear of that?
I did hear it. I've never paid attention
It's hard to pay attention because I don't really know about all that stuff, like what signs they're showing. But as you listen to it more, they're like, no, this was this, and then this is resembled that. But you could probably say that about anything almost. So
sure. I mean, like I said, the next day when they bring it up,
yeah,
then it's like, well, I did see that, but you never.
If you don't know about it, it's not going to impact. Yeah. No. So the Super Bowl has turned into, you know, it's the halftime show, it's the commercials, and you go to Super Bowl party. Like, what do you do for Super Bowl?
I actually go to a bar at a ice rink my girlfriend manages, and they have a big party every year.
Okay. So that's every year they do that?
Every year,
yeah. Okay. So, and we go to a Super Bowl party, like locally, just friends of ours throw it. So, but then there's like, you know, there's like women actually interested in a football game, which I don't see in my house because my wife, and, well, we don't have TV, so we don't really watch sports a lot. So if I want to find, like I watch the Blackhawks, but I got to find a live stream that's on, it's a computer. Like a
you don't have TV?
No, we got rid of TV like in 2000, we got rid of cable in 2010.
Really?
Yeah. I was kind of mildly addicted to fantasy football sports, and I just wanted to see for a summer what it would be like if I just kind of got away from all sports watching it. I mean, like, I became a lot more productive because I didn't sit in front of the TV and just watch one game after two games, after three games, after four games. So that's my thing. And I tell everybody that, but I could see as you made your eye, your eyes were rolling.
Maybe I should try that.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. Oh. But my kids grew up with it and they kind of appreciate it. Every once in a while, I mean, we get the Jones in for a game or something like that. And I have to like work at it. If I want to watch the Blackhawks, I got to go online and find a live free stream and I can find it. But it just, it just takes a lot of work. You know,
sometimes it's not worth it, I guess, right?
No, yeah, and then you're just like, if I really don't want to watch it, I don't go through all the trouble, so I don't even do it. So it just freed me up to kind of do some other stuff. So anyways, you know, when I talk to the Super Bowl, we go to my friend's house, we sit around with like, there's a bunch of women, kind of the food is the topic, the commercials are the topic, the halftime show, and then we get into these like prop bets, I guess they're called, right? And I just started doing research, and I kind of heard them before, and I thought it was maybe just a couple, but there's a ton of prop bets. Yeah, so you go to this Super Bowl party at bar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it like family? Do your kids
no,
come?
No, it's a bunch of maybe say there's 100 couples there. Maybe
okay,
50 of them are regulars.
Okay,
that kids play hockey.
Okay.
At the rink, you know.
And so they kind of know to come there for the yes, Super Bowl party. Yes. Okay. So Donnie is going to share just a little bit of. I guess you would say you're a kind of a mild gambler.
Yes.
Let's just say for tax purposes. Yes, we'll say you're a mild, and probably even more so back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day, I would say I was a little more than a mild.
Yeah, okay. My theory with gambling is he who gambles lives in shambles. I don't know if that's from the Bible, but I tell people it's from the Bible.
Sounds like it.
And, well, I don't
it's know. Very true.
But, is it true?
Pretty true, okay. Yes.
So that's a little habit. We're talking, like, we talk small habits that have extraordinary results. So here's a guy who probably gambled more than mildly, and he's saying that he who gambles lives in shambles is true. So maybe if you're kind of on the edge or kind of on the fence, maybe get in the habit of not doing it so much.
I'll give you a tip. Don't bet.
Nice. We could end the podcast there, and it would do a lot of people some good. So we're going to talk some prop bets, have a little fun, get his pick about the Super Bowl game itself. See, it's going to be a bad game for me, first of all, because the Patriots aren't in it. I'm a big Patriots fan, only because everyone hates them. And I'm like the ultimate contrarian. If like everybody hates something, I'm going to just gravitate towards it. So everybody hates the Patriots. Everybody hates Tom Brady. Everybody hates Belichick. I love them all because everyone hates them. So they're not in it. So I really don't have a team. But this is the way I look at sports nowadays. Whatever team wins, Don, is the team that I was going for.
Well, you can't lose.
I never can lose. So I spend the off season going, man, my team won. I actually buy a t-shirt, like the Eagles won a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
I went out and bought a t-shirt the next couple days, like day after. And everybody's like, you're an Eagles fan? I'm like, heck yeah. I love the Eagles.
Since I was a kid.
Yeah. Oh, I told people I grew up in Philly. And they were like, you did? I'm like, yeah. My dad was like season tickets for the Eagles. I grew up in Philly. And then a couple of my other friends were like, you didn't grow up in Philly. I'm like, no, but it's a good story. And I never lose. So like life is too short to follow losers. So I never, ever have a team going into the playoffs. I just pick the team at the end who wins. But this is a problem. I'm big on uniforms. This is how I pick my teams. I'm not a big fan of red. So I have a really big problem this year, especially the Kansas City Chiefs red.
Well, yeah, that's bright red.
Yeah, that's really red. So I guess if I had to lean towards a team, it would be
49ers.
Yeah, the 49ers. Yeah. So what's your pick for the game here?
I kind of like Kansas City. It's the closest Super Bowl I can remember in years. Like the line in Vegas is only 1 point.
Okay.
So they really don't know.
Hold on. Stop right there.
Okay.
You're talking to a guy. I won't even play squares. And we'll get into that. I don't even understand it. You know, like the parties and stuff. Okay. So what did you say? It's only one what? 1 point?
The point spread is one
in
Las Vegas.
Okay. So give people an understanding.
So they're saying that if you were to bet the underdog, you would add 1 point to their score at the end of the game.
Okay, so they start out with 1 point,
basically. Yes, it's basically okay. 1-0 to start the game,
okay.
Which is the lowest it's been in ever since I can remember. It's usually 3, 4, 5. I don't ever remember it being 1.
So
it's basically a pick 'em.
It's pretty even.
It's a toss-up.
Okay.
Which Vegas loves because they can't lose because you paid juice. Like if you were to go
hold
Vegas.
On, stop. Stop. You should have seen it. He's like, they paid juice and his eyes bugged out of his face. Okay, so explain juice to me.
Okay, you went up to the counter in Las Vegas and you said, give me 100 on Kansas City, you're risking $110 to win 100.
Wow.
And normally, if you're risking 100 on San Francisco, you're getting $10. So you're risking 100 to win 110.
Okay.
But when it's that close, they're getting money on both ends.
Because an even amount of people are betting.
Yes.
So they're at least going to break even. They're not going to be killed.
There's no way with the line being one that they could lose money.
Okay. So it's good for them.
When they lose money is when it's like a 14-point spread and everybody's betting the favorite.
Oh.
The favorite wins. That's when they
get killed.
Like last weekend, all the favorites won.
Yeah.
The two favorites won and the two overs. Over-under is the total points scored in the game. And the majority of people bet the favorites and the over. Nobody wants to see a game not score, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you always bet the over.
Okay, so I'm listening. I'm just telling you what's going on in my head. Don't be insulted, Donnie.
Oh, I'm not.
Okay, so he's explaining it really, I mean, really thorough, super good. All I'm hearing is in my head is someone speaking Chinese. That's all I'm hearing just now. So I'm sure you in the radio or the podcast listening audience, you kind of get it if you're there. So he who gambles lives in shambles. I don't want to live in shambles. You're picking the 49ers if you had to pick.
Chiefs.
Chiefs. Okay, Chiefs. Okay. So even with those bright red uniforms. See, I can't go bright red.
See, I'm one of those guys. I don't want to pull for the underdog. Everyone always goes to the favorite. It's not too big of a favorite here.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I just think Kansas City scores a lot of points, and I think it's just going to be hard because San Francisco doesn't throw the ball much.
Oh, and who's the quarterback for the Chiefs?
Patrick Mahomes.
He's pretty good.
Probably
he's a pretty good guy.
Best quarterback in football.
I mean, not only a good quarterback, but he's a decent human being, too.
Yes.
That's why I hear a lot of good reports.
Very good.
Yeah. And his dad, I guess, was a Major League Baseball player?
Pitched for the Cubs.
Did he really?
Yes. Back in the 80s, I believe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then he got traded to Kansas City, and that's where he grew up. So he's actually playing for, like, his hometown.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what college did he go to?
Texas Tech.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah. See, this, I'm just throwing questions at Don here because I know he knows them, but he's playing off like he's got to think about it. He's like, oh, Texas Tech, I think. So what sports did you play growing up, if I can remember? You
baseball played, and basketball.
Basketball.
I played baseball, basketball, football, actually.
Okay.
I was too small to play football.
Football, okay.
And basketball, really, too.
But you were like a, weren't you like a point guard and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think when we were living with you guys, I think we destroyed on like in the floor hockey and the YMCA.
The boys club.
Yeah, the boys club.
Bellwood boys club.
Yeah. I think we killed everybody. There was wasn't there a redheaded guy that ran the league?
Todd Leslie.
You know his name?
Yes.
I totally remember just like lining up him telling us like the rules, no fighting. If I see you hitting anybody with sticks, you're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a blast. We had a great time. Yeah. So, okay. So you played sports growing up, a bunch of them. How about your boys? You have four boys and a daughter, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what'd your four boys play?
Well, the oldest one played basketball, baseball, football.
Okay.
The middle two played baseball, basketball, football, but hockey.
Okay.
The third one was really good at hockey. He played where we were out of town twice a month.
Oh, geez. Okay.
12 months a year.
Running all over the place.
Yeah. And my younger one played a little bit of all of them, but not as intense as the boys.
Okay.
I coached the boys in travel baseball, basketball, and football. One baseball year, I had three teams.
Oh, geez.
I played 168 baseball games I coached.
So you're like a professional coach.
I've been called a lot of things, but not professional.
I coach too. So yeah, definitely not professional. Okay. So if you see a picture of, and I never met your boys, but if you see a picture of Donnie's boys, like literally you call central casting if you want like the generation younger than the people who are running the mafia, that's your boys right there.
People used to say, growing up, Gotti, that show.
With your boys.
The boys were driving dirt bikes in the field, just like the...
Now, and you could just say yes or no, because I don't want you throwing your boys under the bus here. Were they as wild as you and your brothers growing up?
Oh, yes. There's no thought behind that.
Really? No. They look like a wild bunch.
Yes.
Yeah. They look like a wild, like typical Italian.
Wild, style. But not as crazy. We weren't playing with a full deck, me and my brothers, growing up, the fights and the...
Oh, yeah. You were always fighting somebody. Totally. Okay. So this is, I tell this to people all the time. Like I have a cousins on my dad's side, the Sullivans, and they have an Irish name because your dad was obviously Don Sullivan he was Irish. And we have the Batacola name. So we're looking Italian, but you guys got all the Italian looks. I mean, we're Italian-ish looking, I think, but compared to you guys, we look like Larry Bird.
Growing up, I'd meet people and they ask your name and you tell them, come on. Fake name,
yeah,
Sullivan.
Well, I thought it was correct. You guys had those white satin jackets with the like last names on the back, like, and it was Sullivan. But usually, it was supposed to be like an Italian name. Wasn't
it? My brother did. Yeah, not me.
Okay,
yeah,
was it
Richie and Tony did?
Richie.
Not
okay,
me.
Tony. Okay, so I remember the like those jackets. I thought it was hilarious because it's supposed to be like this big, huge Italian name in the back.
I think they had Italian Playboys on them or Italian something, and they had Sullivan.
Sullivan on the back. Yeah. So we like compared to like even growing up, you guys had the mustache at like 12. Gold chains, and then we were walking in looking like we were clear, like Polack kids compared to you guys. I think you guys used to call us Preppy, and we used to call you Greasy or Guidos or something.
It was probably a lot of names. Not that we could say on the podcast here.
No, it was, but it was, it was fun. We're all still, I mean, we don't see each other a lot, but we're close. It's kind of what family is, and everybody's running around doing their own thing.
We don't see each other for years, and when we see each other, it's like we didn't miss a beat.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I just have some great memories of us growing up and kind of sports were a big thing and we were involved in all that. And just, I know you guys were active. You went to St. Joseph's, right?
Yes.
And so were you right around the time that like Isaiah Thomas was there? Or?
Yeah, I was a freshman when Isaiah was a senior.
Oh, wow. So you saw.
I used like to follow him. I went to Indiana to see him. I don't talk to him much anymore, but I did through his playing career. I used to go to Detroit to watch him. I actually went to the game with his brother one day. We drove from here up there. And got to see his house with the basketball court in the basement.
In his basement?
Well, you know, like out, you had to go down the stairs. It was 20-something feet high.
Oh, jeez. And so that was because he was with the Bad Boys.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I was always a Bad Boy fan.
So you like them better than the Bulls?
Yes.
Really?
I did growing up, yeah.
Wow. So Jordan didn't do it for you, huh?
No.
Whoa. Okay. Wow.
I'm actually going to hope to see Isaiah when he comes in for the All-Star break. I'm having lunch with one of his best friends from high school.
Oh, nice.
He told me Isaiah's coming in a couple days early.
Oh, cool.
So hopefully. I haven't seen him in probably 20 years.
Yeah, I remember I was in junior high or maybe even grade school, but my science teacher was the basketball coach at our grammar school. And he said, go to the Morton, I don't know if it was Morton West or Morton College tournament. There's a guy that's going to be playing in the NBA. And he was talking about Isaiah Thomas. And me and my friends went, and we got seat. It was packed. The gymnasium was packed. And I remember we sat all the way up at the top. I barely saw him, and I didn't know basketball. But yeah, I saw Isaiah Thomas play when he was in high school. I mean, it was just like, I can say I was there, but I had no recollection of it.
I actually went to Proviso first semester my freshman year, and I was at the, I've been to the Christmas tournament. This is the first year I haven't been there in 43 years, 44 years. But I went there, and my dad had just passed away. So when I came home from the tournament, I told my mom I wanted to go to St. Joe's, and that's how I ended up going to St.
Joe's. Oh, really?
At the end of the first semester.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you were there all the rest of the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically. I went to West Leiden first semester. My mother got married.
And I
figured I better go to school there to know people in the neighborhood.
And yeah.
I was there a semester. I went back to St. Joe's.
You went back there. Okay. Okay. So let's talk some Super Bowl. So you're heading into it 5 days if you're at a Super Bowl party, or maybe you're just like hanging out at home. And so what are, I guess I'm talking to the podcast listeners. We're going to talk about some things that we can do to kind of maybe even spice up the Super Bowl a little bit more, like little things that you could do to make, even if you're hosting a party or going to a party, talking about like these crazy prop bets that I kind of dived into. I didn't know they were so extensive. It's like you could bet on anything, and it's like real money, right? And you go on the,
sure.
You yeah. So maybe you could, maybe not so necessarily for money. If you're doing those squares, I know like when I go to our party, there's a square sheet running around. You can buy $5 a square, and yeah. I don't know, whatever. You could explain that to me because
it's all for charity though, right?
Oh, it's for the church. Yeah.
Church.
Yeah. So I haven't, well, here's my theory on gambling, and he who gambles lives in shambles, but that's just my pat answer. I'm like the Pete Rose of my generation. Okay. If I don't have the ability to impact the game and win, like he bet on games like teams that he was coaching, he wanted to win, right? So I kind of respect that a little bit, Pete. You know, they should probably put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
you
like my idol growing up.
Oh, really?
Honestly.
Okay. So if I'm not like able to impact the game, if I'm not throwing the pass, catching the pass, making the block, hitting the shot.
You don't trust your money.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody. So unless I'm doing it, I'm not betting my money. So that's why I don't gamble. And I just, it's a nice story to tell.
So you'd be good at the prop bets that don't have nothing to do with it, some of them.
Yeah, but I still got to put up money, though.
How long is the national anthem going to be?
Is that one of them?
2 minutes and 1 second over or 2 minutes and 1 second under?
That's one of the crazy ones.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what we're talking about. So if you're hosting a Super Bowl party or going there, maybe you can even go online. They have these online, right? Or as you kind of listen to these prop bets that we're talking about, you could kind of spice up your Super Bowl party a little bit by just maybe passing out these sheets beforehand. It's kind of fun. There's a lot of families and maybe people who are at your house or at the party watching the Super Bowl or watching football, maybe for the first time all year. And so you have some little bit of fun, do some little things that make even the experience a little bit more better. And that's what we're talking about here. So let's talk some prop bets. Okay, so what was that first one you said?
The two of the highest played prop bets are the coin flip.
Okay.
And how long will the national anthem last?
So the coin flip is basically just you bet on if it's going to be heads or tails.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so give me like what's the money? What's the wager you can?
I have him here.
He's pulling out his cheaters, everybody.
Yes, yes.
We're not 12 anymore.
Well, here's one. Will the team that wins the coin toss win the game?
Which and that's
it's pretty like even -105 minus. In other words, you put 105 up either way. So you Vegas wins $10, $5, no matter what.
Okay.
I don't have the exact odds of the, but I do have some other crazy bets.
Okay. Yeah. Let me hear them. Yeah. Let me hear them.
Who will show more cleavage, J-Lo or?
Wait, is she playing?
At halftime.
Oh, she.
Or Shakira, which one?
Well, okay.
Who will show cleavage during the performance? Both, J-Lo only, Shakira, or neither?
Wait.
They're all +250. So if you bet $100 on any one of them and it happens,
okay,
you win $250.
Okay, so are they both the halftime show? Are they're both?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were going to say J-Lo or Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Because if he wears a V-neck,
well, my
money would be on him. Totally. Okay, so what's...
Another one is, will Jay-Z be shown at halftime? And that's, no is -1, -1500, and yes is +600. So if you were to bet, you wanted to win $100 that they're not going to show him, you'd have to put $1,500 up.
So is he going to be in the stands, apparently?
Apparently, yes.
Okay, wait. So no, now give the money line again.
So it's minus 1500 for no.
Okay.
And plus 600 for yes.
So if I gave $500 for a yes, what happens? And it happens.
You'd win 3000.
Really?
But if you put 100 on no and it happened,
mm-hmm.
you'd lose 1500. Well, you'd have to risk 1500 to win 100 on the no. In other words, they probably don't think he's going to be there or be shown.
Wow. If it's just like poor old Sap who didn't understand anything, I just put on 100 and say no. I would owe some guy where?
1500.
Where does that guy live?
It's a computer. It's all for fun. It's for the church.
Okay. So I would be out $1,500. Wow. Okay. Let me just restate this for all our listening audience. The Move the Beans podcast is a podcast that shares stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. Do not gamble, folks. do not gamble. So, okay. I honestly, before we just had that conversation, I didn't understand about gambling or anything like that, or just like the numbers or the spreads. Wow. Why would anyone like risk that?
And I actually read the odds wrong on the cleavage one.
Okay.
If both show cleavage is minus 250. So if you bet 100 and lose, you lose 250. If only one of them does and you bet that one, it's plus 250. If neither one of them show cleavage, it's plus 550.
Could you
so
just
that means you put 100 up, and if in other words, they really believe everyone, both of them are going to show cleavage.
Okay. Could I
and
just
what it says is both must perform and skin must be visible. That's what it said from a casino in Vegas.
Jeez. Okay, so just for the record, can you say, because I like sleeping on my couch, could you say the word cleavage one more time for my wife to hear? Just say it one more time.
Cleavage.
Thank you. All right, I'll just go right to the couch, Nicole. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. She's going to be like, what was that? It was just a prop bet. Babe. Okay, so
we won't get to the crazy prop bet then. We'll leave that one.
Yeah, out, leave that
you'll
one.
Be sleeping in the garage.
Okay, so I did some research here. Will Donald Trump attend the game? And it said, yes, plus 240 and no, minus 380. What does that mean?
So if he's there and you bet that he's going to be there.
So if I bet $100.
You win 240.
If I bet $100.
And what was the other minus one?
No, 380.
So that means you would risk 380. If you bet 100 and he's there and you bet no, you lose $380.
Okay, so what if I bet like $10?
$38.
Oh, okay.
All these numbers are based on 100.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Because it makes it easier.
You should have seen his face because I'm like, what if I bet $10? He's like, he looked at me like I was the village idiot.
That's not true.
No, your face was like this. Your face was like $38. So give me another one over there. What do you got?
Oh, here's a crazy one. If a fan runs on the field, who will tackle his first kickoff until? Who will tackle him first? Does not count towards. So they want to know if it's a security guard, a player, a staff member, or another fan.
Okay. So it's definitely not going to be another fan.
The numbers are, well, that's plus 750 if it's another fan. It is plus 120 for a security guard, plus 175 for a player, plus 250 for a team staff member. And plus 750 for another fan. So basically, they're all plus, so they really don't think nobody's going to run on the field.
I would probably say, if that happens, a security guard, right?
Yeah, no, I would say a player.
You think so?
You know, when they see one of those guys, that they'll just drill them.
I thought like maybe a player would be tackling those guys back in the day more, not like nowadays, because you might get sued, right? Well, no, if you step on the field of play,
oh, no, you're
fair game, yeah. Right?
There's one for about Floyd Mayweather. What's the largest wager Floyd Mayweather will place on the game? And he's got to put it on Instagram. Under $1 million or over $1 million?
Now he's a boxer, right?
Yes, who loves to gamble. And he really loves to show his tickets on Instagram.
Really?
And he bets huge.
So if he bets...
So if he bets under $1 million, it's minus 200. If he bets over $1 million, it's plus 150.
So if I say he's going to bet over $1 million and I put $200 down, what do I win?
300. So you'll win your 200 plus 150. You'll get 300 back.
Well, that's nothing.
No.
That's not even worth it. I either want to win $1 million or lose my house.
They actually have them on there. How many times Trump will tweet during the Super Bowl? Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that one. What's the over under on that one? Is that what? 13 and a half, right?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
That high?
Yeah, 13 and a half. He's not tweet. I think he has a tweet department, doesn't he? You think so?
You don't think that's really him?
I don't think it's him. I think maybe he tells some people, here's some thoughts, but I think he has like 26-year-olds doing it for
Here's him. One for you. Will any player take a knee during the national anthem?
Jeez, I hope not, right?
No is minus 2,500.
Okay.
And yes is plus 1,000. So if you bet $100 and someone takes a knee, you'll win $1,000.
If I say yes.
If you say yes. If you say no and someone takes a knee, you lose 2,500 for 100.
Jeez. Okay. Can I just say it again? Don't gamble, people. Oh my God. That is crazy.
What color microphone will Demi Lovato use during the national anthem? Black is minus 300.
Oh,
silver or gray is plus 200. And any other color is plus 500.
That's crazy.
Will she wear a dress or a skirt or shorts?
My gosh.
Color of her hair.
Have you ever made these prop bets?
Not really.
Back in the day? No?
No.
Have you ever bet on the, like, the actual game, Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever, like, ever won or lost on the Super Bowl? What have you been, what were you doing?
Probably lost more than I won, but I'd say it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So they're just doing like, okay, what color will the liquid be that is poured out?
The Gatorade.
On the game winning coach. Yeah. So clear, lime green, yellow, orange, blue, red, purple.
How sick is this gambling environment when you could bet on the color of the Gatorade that they're going to throw on the winning coach?
Yeah, that is crazy.
And they'll get so much money, you wonder why Vegas just keeps building hotels and building.
Now, okay, so here's the dark side of gambling, and you let me know. Okay, so 49ers win. There's someone who really wants the plus 400 orange Gatorade to be poured on the coach.
And he's got $1 million bet on it.
So yeah.
Do
you think he has someone on the sidelines giving someone a Gatorade full of orange?
Well, you get one of those guys, the trainers, you know, that's making 50 grand a year to, you know,
make sure that
people water bottles.
Yeah.
He makes sure that the container with the blue Gatorade goes. I mean, it's kind of far-fetched, but it definitely could happen.
I mean, it's doable. Yeah. It sounds like a conspiracy, but it definitely is doable. That's crazy.
They have one on here. How many times they'll call for the chains for a first down?
Oh, my gosh.
Under 1.5 is minus 175, and over 1.5 is plus 135.
Do you know, like, is there, like, a ratio of, like, money spent on prop bets, like, throughout the Super Bowl? Do you even know?
There is. I don't know it offhand, but
I mean, is it crazy money?
Oh, it's got to be outrageous.
Yeah. I mean, because this is, like, so now everything's, like, obviously online for years, but so people can all over the world do this.
Oh, yeah. This is just not in the United States.
Yeah, this is everywhere.
Europe is huge. They have all these online. You could go into a store at. They got stores on the corners in England and stuff. You could just walk in and it's a bookmaker. You
really?
Just walk in and it's all federally regulated.
Now, what do you think about state of Illinois passing the gambling thing?
It's going to be good for horse racing.
Yeah.
I have a racehorse.
Okay.
A harness horse. And they never been, since good old Rod Blagojevich was in office, he passed something that cost the horse people a lot of money. Wouldn't let them put slots in at the racetracks.
Okay.
And now this gambling is going to revive
the horse
Illinois racing.
What do you think it's going to do to like baseball games? You go to a baseball game, is there going to be like a gambling window?
Yeah, as long as there's 20,000 foot a seat arena, they can have their own gambling booth.
So you can
kiosk.
Okay. You can walk
be at the Cubs game, say in the fourth inning. And place an in-game bet. Like, say the Cubs are down 4-0.
Yeah.
And they'll have odds that say the Cubs are going to come back and win. You can go down.
And do it right there.
Right there in the machine.
Now, you think that's good or bad? This is a bigger picture. Like, for society, you think that's good or bad?
I don't think it's bad because people are doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So the state might as well. You know, they're supposed to be broke, so they might as well get their share of it, right? Just like they do with the pot.
Yeah, the pot now, yeah, you know? Yeah.
I mean, I don't see someone that's never made a bet turn into a degenerate just because the machine's there.
Yeah.
And I don't think that a degenerate is going to be any more of a degenerate because there's a machine there.
What's
the difference if he goes online or makes a phone call to the guy down at the tavern?
Yeah. So, like, someone like me who's never bet before, if I go to a Sox game, I'm walking past the window.
Yeah.
It's not like I don't have the urge to do it.
No.
So it's not going to impact me at all. And you're saying the guy who does bet on a regular basis, he's going to do it anyways.
He's doing it anyhow, so it's not that's...
Okay.
And then the only good thing about it is for, say, there's a guy, say you go with your friend and he's never made a bet, and he's like, let me try this out, you know? So he puts $20, you know, it's cheaper than buying a beer probably.
Yeah.
$20 to win on the Cubs at the beginning of the day, and he gets back, you know, $31 or something, just for fun.
Yeah.
Like when you have fundraisers at the racetrack or something, you know, and to go.
Or like split the pot at the high school games or something like that. Yes. Okay. So it's kind of a
same. Bingo at the church?
We don't do bingo at our church. Only because at our church is really small, and you got to have at least three people to do bingo, right? So it would be really boring. I'd be staring at my wife and kids like, why are we playing bingo again? It would be bad most days. See, but here's the only thing I don't like about it, especially with the state of Illinois. Now we're getting to some political talk here. They want to basically control that money's going to probably a politician, right? It's not going to help anything or help anybody or help the roads or whatever. That's what they say about that marijuana money.
Oh, how about the toll booths were supposed to be for the schools?
For only
and only for a few certain amount of years.
Yeah, it was
We've
supposed
had
to
them
be
for 40 years.
Yeah. They keep on going up. Yeah. And they keep on going up and up. And the roads are, I mean, the roads are decent.
Roads in the schools, wasn't that what, or the lottery was, one of them was for the schools and one was for the roads.
Roads were tollways.
Tollways. Yeah. The lottery was for the schools.
Yeah. And so how'd that work out?
Schools are still broke and lottery's $300 million every other week. And
no one knows what's going on. And the tolls are going up and stuff. So yeah, that's my only concern about like, and I'm not.
And actually Illinois, out of all the states that are
legalizing
gambling, Illinois has the highest tax rate.
Oh, really?
And that's why Chicago's having trouble with a casino because no one wants to come. I want to say it's 37% or something the state going to take.
Really?
When it's all said and done, it'd be like 40% tax between the state, the county. And so a casino doesn't want to come here and put a casino owner, you know, those big DraftKings and all that.
Yeah.
Because it's not feasible for them to pay those kind of taxes.
Jeez. 37%.
Something like that. It's really outrageous. And then that's why Mayor Lightfoot's down in Springfield trying to get him to rewrite the bill for them because no one wants to come here.
Yeah. And she probably wants him to come because she'll make money.
She'll make that money.
Yeah. It's a racket. Yes, I'm telling you, it's a racket.
Sure, sure.
I don't know if you've ever heard this before. He gambles, lives in shambles, Donnie.
I did hear that once before.
Okay. So let me just mention. Okay. So Donnie's the oldest. And then you have, since when did he start going by Anthony?
When he married his Italian wife from Melrose.
Because now he's like
I still call him Tony.
I don't know him.
But now he's hi. I'm Anthony.
Oh,
okay, Anthony.
Tony, listen to me. We know you're listening. You're Tony. Okay, so don't worry about it. And so Richie, he was my age. I think he's like a couple months younger than me. And so whenever there was like a scrum, Richie and I would just kind of like slow dance off the corner. We'd be laughing. We'd be laughing like, what's going on? Like Mark, I think. Mark or Donnie's going to get hurt. And we're just like, well, let's go get a snack or something. So, and then the other kids were just too young to even kind of figure it out. So there's you, Tony, Richie, Christopher, and then Gregory.
Greg.
So does he go by Gregory or Greg?
Greg.
So I only know him as Gregory now.
And Chris goes by Christopher. I mean, Christopher goes by Chris.
See, yeah, I always remember
that's
like
the first time I heard Christopher in probably 35 years.
Really?
At least.
I just remember your mom yelling, Christopher! Like out the door or whatever, like, you know, yelling at all you guys, but really she stopped at Christopher.
She still yells.
She still yells, yeah.
Now she yells at all the old people in the building.
Oh, yeah, where
she's
she lives?
She's the president.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Runs it like a Gestapo.
Talk about.
We went there for Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner she had, and we went there, and she talks to these people like she did with us when we were kids. No. You only get one bowl of salad. That's all it's.
Your mom taught me how to make Italian salad.
Really? She does make a good salad.
Awesome. Yeah, that's what I remember. Like on Thanksgiving, that was awesome. Yeah, I mean, I was used to watch her. My wife says that I learned from her now, too, but I think it's a combination of both. But my Aunt Elena...
You're already on the couch, so don't...
Yeah. Well, only because of you. Okay. Okay, so if you're looking to spice up your Super Bowl party a little bit, look at these prop bets. You could probably... I mean, without exchanging, like, crazy money, there's some ridiculous stuff that you could, like, make a sheet out. And
see who answers more right.
Yeah, pass out to your guests. I think it'll be a way to, and especially with just the crowd that I know at like my Super Bowl party, there's, you know, families are there, moms and dads are there. And so like a lot of people that maybe don't watch football all year, but they would probably get into that kind of stuff. So explain to me the squares thing. Now, is it just something you get randomly or can you pick a square? And is there a good square to pick?
Well, there's 1 through 100 normally. There's
okay.
Other variations of it, but the regular one is 100 squares.
Okay.
And you put your name down on a blank square, And then afterwards, they draw numbers or turn cards over, you know, to... So you'll have 1 through 10 on the top.
Oh, so you don't know your number before you pick the square.
You can't just go in and pick your own number. Come on, Dan.
I didn't set it. No. Okay, so.
Yeah, let me have 0 and 0. Let me have 7 and 0.
See, that's what I
do. So the guy that enters last gets 3 and 8.
Yeah, that's not happening. They're not winning.
3 and 5.
Okay, so then you get your square. Then they turn over the numbers.
Then you turn the numbers over. Zero to 10 on each side. Okay. AFC and NFC.
Okay.
And then the last number of the score is your number. So if you have 0 and 7,
okay,
say 7 on the NFC, 0 on the AFC, at the end of the first quarter, if the score is 7-0, San Francisco, you win. If it's 17-10.
What am I winning?
It's all for fun.
Say it's like, okay, it's not for fun, but say it's like $5 a square. So you just
there's 500 squares, it'd be $500. So
each quarter, you could win $500.
Well, no, the total for that is $500. So you'd have $125.
Okay. And so you just, for each quarter, you get that.
Some pools will be a little more for halftime in the final.
Okay.
So, like, say you had the $500 square, you had $100 for first quarter, $150 for the second, for halftime, $100, and then $150.
You know when you make a ramen noodle soup, do you ever have ramen noodles?
Yes.
Okay, so then the noodles are really hard, and then they get super soft. That was my brain when you were just talking just now. My brain went from super hard and listening to like just soggy mess ramen noodles. I know that I'm going to give someone $5 one of these days. I'll play one eventually, now that I'm an expert at it. So I give someone $5 and...
Well, it's the easiest way. You just put the $5 up. You don't have to think nothing. It's just a matter of you wait till the game's over and you look at the score.
See, but don't they reveal, and I think they do this at my part, they reveal the squares during the game, right? So everybody's watching it, right?
Well, you do it, yeah.
You do it right before the game.
Before the game starts.
Okay. And so you can kind of follow your score then.
Because you win the numbers after the first quarter, at halftime,
okay,
after the third quarter, and after the final.
So what kind of money have you ever won playing that square game? Have you made any big money over the years?
The most I won was $2,500.
So what was each square worth? What did you have to put down?
I believe it was 100 a square, so 10,000.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of times you can go to a bar that have a square. And you get drinks and dinner.
Okay. Oh, with the square.
It might cost you 110 or 120, and you get, you know.
Jeez,
and then everyone's pulling for their numbers and.
In case listening audience was not aware of this, but I think I'm officially just putting myself into the nerd bracket. There's another world out there I didn't even know about.
I can't believe you never knew about squares.
Well, I knew about it. I just didn't understand it.
Just never.
I never played it before. I would be at work like, hey, you want to play squares? I'm like, no. Not because I would always be like, no. Probably because I didn't understand what was going on. And I didn't want to learn it. Because like I said, if I'm not playing on the team, I don't want to put any money down.
I'm in a few squares.
For this one? So what have you put down?
I have a $200 one. I have two $100 ones, a 50, two 25s, and then I got a couple for charities, the fundraisers,
like
a 50, a 20 that softball teams were selling. And
so the first week of February after the Super Bowl this Sunday, either I will be taking my cousin Donnie out to dinner because he'll be broke, or he'll be taking me out to dinner. Cause he'll have,
I hope it's filet and lobster.
Because he'll have a lot of money.
That means we did good.
I like how he says we there. This is good, right?
Family.
We're in it together right now.
We're podcast family.
Absolutely.
On top of being regular family.
You know what? I agree. If you have a good Super Bowl Sunday, I'll let everybody know on the podcast and I'll give everybody your telephone number and where you live and everybody can just reach out to you for a loan.
Yeah, I live in California.
He does. He flew out here. He flew out here. So you have Kansas City. Okay, so it's only 1 point spread.
The over-under is 54.5.
Okay, so.
It opened up the night of last Sunday when the games were over. It was 51.5.
So it went up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, so
that means everyone's betting the over.
Okay.
Vegas raises the line accordingly.
So everyone bet the over, so they just keep on pushing it up.
If you bet it last Monday, you bet it at 51.
You're there.
You're there.
Okay. And so is that what you did?
No, I wish I would have because that's what I was going to do. But really? I figured I'd take it easy and see what happens.
And now it's
think it could be all the way up to 56 before it's done.
Really?
Now I'm going to teach you a little insight thing on.
Please do. They gotta, please do. For something I'll never use. Go on.
So if you were a professional gambler and you thought you could middle it, they call it, you would have bet last. Because usually they come pretty close to the number. I mean, you see guys, they'll have it at 52 and it comes 51 or 53. You
okay.
know, they're usually, how, I don't know, but they're close.
It's, you know, I know how. I know how. It's all a scam, Donnie. It
could be.
Yeah,
could
it's be. It's someone's running it. It's like the New World Order. They're all running sports.
They so if you would have bet last week the over 51 and a half.
Okay.
And you wait till next Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, right before the game, it
okay.
could be 56 and a half. So then you bet the under. So then all you can lose is the $10 juice if you bet 100 each way.
So you just lose 10
Because you're going to win one and
yeah.
lose one.
Okay.
But if it comes 52, 53, 54, 55, or 56, you win both. Because you're betting under 56 and you're betting over 51. So jeez. If it comes in between there, usually that doesn't happen because there's usually not that big of a gap.
Yeah.
But in this case, there very well could be.
Okay, so if I bet $100 and I win both, how much would I win?
200.
That's it? I mean, that was, you just explained that to me for like 6.5 hours for 200.
I don't know. 200 is not a bad take to watch the Super Bowl. They're paying you to watch the game.
That's true. That's true. But that just, I mean, like you just wrote me a whole story there. And for 200, I thought you were going to say like a 2 million. I was be like, I could do that.
Could have hit the lottery for
okay.
that.
Okay. So I don't even pay the lot. Actually, I played the lottery once when I was like 20 years old. I got like four numbers. I won like $58 and I stopped playing.
So you're ahead of the game.
I'm ahead. I'm stick you, state of Illinois. I'm not coming back. You're not getting my $58.
I have a story for you about the running back on San Francisco.
Okay. What was he on the Bears?
He was cut by six teams.
Okay.
And he has on his phone the date that each team cut him. The Bears were the last one to cut him, and 4 days later, he signed with San Francisco, and they put him on the practice squad, and he climbed his way up, and he just set a record, I think, last week was the most touchdowns and rushing yards in a half in a game, in a playoff game.
He scored for like four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns, jeez. And he had over 200 yards, I believe.
And the Bears couldn't use him, huh?
No. Well, it's the fact that he just kept going and going, you know. He went to Purdue.
Okay.
And only he had less than like 1,000 yards in 4 years or something.
Yeah.
And just kept plugging away, plugging away. It went to Philly. They caught him. Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, the Jets, and then the Bears. The Bears were the last one.
Oh, nice. And what year, when did the Bears cut him?
I think 2 years ago. He's been, I think, because he was with the practice squad last okay. year, and then now he's.
So did Nagy cut him or the last regime?
That I'm not sure.
Okay.
I just probably, you'd think if he got cut from the Bears, he'd give it up. Like, if I can't make this team.
Yeah, I'm done. So now, is this true? Like, all the San Francisco 49ers touchdowns against the Green Bay Packers were all former Bears. I heard that. So the other guy.
All their points. Well, because he had four of them.
And then Robbie Gould.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all
the points scored were from the Bears.
Former Bears. Yep. And so if someone said, like, so the Bears beat the Packers.
That's the only way they'd beat them.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's, you know, that's a nicer story. And that's what the Move the Beans podcast is all about. Thank you so much, Donnie. Rather than like losing millions of dollars in cleavage stories.
Yes.
I just I appreciate that one a little bit better.
I figured you would. That's why I wrote it down. I figured I better smooth things over after the cleavage.
I'll have my wife will be appreciative of that. Now, I wanted to ask you this before too. You said you're big in the hockey. Your boys played hockey, but okay. So obviously like the Blackhawks or you don't like
No, I do like.
Okay. I do too. And so how do you think the season is shaking out? They're playing a little bit better.
Playing their best hockey of the year.
Yeah.
It's going to be close if they make the playoffs, but
yeah.
Depends on what happens. If they make a deal or two, they're a little weak on defense.
Yeah.
I go to a lot of games.
Yeah. And I noticed that. Yeah. Yeah. So you seem like you know a lot of the like younger Blackhawks. A lot of them were traded. Okay. That's what I was wondering.
My son played with Vinny Hinestroza.
Okay.
Ryan Hartman.
Oh, okay.
And then Nick Schmaltz, Christian Dvorak out in Arizona.
So where's Hartman at now? He got traded again, right?
Minnesota Wild.
Okay, he's in the Wild. And then Vinny is where?
Vinny's at Arizona. Schmaltz is with Arizona.
Okay.
That's like Chicago West out there. I think there's seven guys from the Hawks that are out there.
Really? Wow. And so all those guys played like, what would you call it, like midget hockey or
yeah, they played AAA hockey AAA. Here.
Okay.
Nick Schmaltz is actually from Wisconsin. He used to drive 2 hours, two and a half hours
to get over
for practice twice a week, and then on weekends for the games.
So all good. I mean, like I said, kids
worked out pretty good for me. Just signed $42 million contract for 7 years. So
wow, and all grown up, all good boys,
all phenomenal, great families.
Yeah,
you know, hockey's the sport.
Yeah.
You're with each other so much of the time, and you spend so much money on it. It becomes like a hockey family.
Yeah,
I mean, I still talk to people that my son played with when he was six.
Now, were you coaching hockey too?
No. I couldn't skate. We used to go to the reservoir and skate, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, we used to walk five blocks down there and we'd crawl underneath the fence.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So you never could skate like competitively?
I was a huge boys club hockey player, and that's where it ended.
That's same for me, pretty much. Now, did you, when you're kind of going through the hockey kind of seasons with your sons and like the families and everything else, is it true what they say about hockey moms? Are they nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see anything weird?
I have a couple that I still see, and I call the one the craziest hockey mom I ever met.
Do you ever see like hockey mom fights in the fans?
Yelling, not fighting.
But
most hockey moms they're yelling at the coaches because Johnny's not playing enough, and
oh really?
You know, he so and so played 3 minutes on that period, and my son only played two. He's got more points than him. And
what does the coach say?
Oh, they don't go. They don't have enough guts to go up to the coach.
Oh, okay.
They
just
do it in the stands and yelling it over the glass. And
because I always heard, like, we never played. Obviously,
hockey moms are craziest. Out of all the sports, the hockey moms are nuts.
Now, are they typically, are they Italian women?
No,
it's all
no holes barred there. It's,
it's across the board.
Hockey mom is the title.
That's
it. Don't matter what nationality.
Doesn't matter. Jeez. Okay. So you saw a lot of those boys playing when they were younger, obviously.
Yeah. Michael and Vinny played when they were six and seven.
Okay. So who out of that bunch right now that's in the NHL that you were looking back and saying, this kid's going to make the NHL? For like a no doubter, no brainer.
You know what? It sounds crazy, but we had a team. There's actually four kids in the NHL and two kids in the AHL that were all on the same 9-year-old team.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a few other ones playing Division I still.
Oh, wow.
But it's funny because Michael and Christian were young. That's my son is Michael, and Christian Dvorak is playing in Arizona.
Okay,
NHL team. So when they first got, when their first team they were playing on, Vinny was on the team. He was a 7-year-old, and they got.
Vinny was playing on a 9-year-old team. He was seven.
Vinny was seven.
Okay.
Michael was six, and Christian was five. They were all on the same team.
Okay.
So this club used to give you a letter when you got cut, or you made the team at the end of the last tryout. So all these kids are reading the letter and they start crying. Well, Michael and Christian didn't know how to read yet. So Christian says to Michael, Mike, why are they crying? He goes, I think they're happy they made the team. But it was all the kids that got cut.
Oh, geez.
So Vinny says, stupids. They got cut. They're not happy. But it was funny. But Vinny and Christian, you knew were going to be good from the start.
Yeah.
You know.
You even saw it back then at that age.
Vinny would go, they'd play two hockey games in a day, and then he'd go home, and he'd be in the garage stick handling and shooting pucks. And
he's a small kid, right? He's a small guy. He's small, I mean, compared.
Yeah, he's not real big.
Yeah. But you don't have to be.
Not anymore, because they took all that out of hockey.
Yeah,
all the physical and the fighting. And
so you could be a little bit smaller size and still, as long as you got some speed. Speed is really
speed
what it's
is
all
what
about.
It's all about now, yeah.
That's crazy. So you think the Hawks maybe make the playoffs, maybe not?
They're right there. The next couple of weeks going to be huge because, you know, the trade deadline's the end of February, so we'll see what happens. If they make a deal, they make a deal.
They don't.
If they don't, they start trading people. It'll be, if they don't make a deal, I think it'll be hard for them to make the playoffs. I think they need another scorer.
Yeah.
And they need some help on D.
I read the Panthers might be interested if he lets go of his no trade clause, Duncan. That's, I saw in the papers today.
Oh, I would imagine, yeah. He's tight with Quinville.
Yeah, Quinville, yeah. That's what they said. Like, he might want to ask him to dump that no trade clause.
I think they would. I mean, he's still a good part of their team, you know.
But they get some young players.
They can get a couple young players and a decent defenseman, young defenseman.
Yeah.
Because that's where they're weak, you know. They were so old. You know, now they're starting to play. Seabrook's been hurt, and they're starting to play some of the younger kids.
Yeah.
You know, Boquist. They brought that Gilbert kid up. It's all about speed now. You know?
Speed, and young kids have the speed.
Yes.
More so than the older guys. So, Well, I think we definitely got our sports expert. I knew you were going to be. when I messaged him a little bit ago, I'm like, I need a novice kind of expert in Super Bowl betting, just the game and the line and everything else, and just sports overall. But I think we found the Move the Beans podcast sports expert. So thanks for being here. I appreciate it. It was fun. So if you're looking for just little things to spice up your Super Bowl party or your maybe your activity that you're going to, or maybe you're hosting or going, try to kind of smooth in some of these prop bets and make a fun game of it. And if you do, you know, place any kind of monetary wager, there's a great charity called Pursuit Church. I will be able to take all those donations and we could make those to a good cause. So, Donnie, thanks so much for being here. It was great to see you. That's it, man. I told you
this was going to go fast.
It's just under an hour right now.
Really?
Yeah, I told you. And you were like a pro. You were like a pro. It's like,
boy.
It's like you've been on the radio all your life.
Yeah.
So we're going to have Donnie back.
ESPN, the score, are you listening out there?
No, they're not. Like, someone from Costa Rica is listening, but other than that, I'm not quite.
I'll take a job out there.
So definitely when something big happens in the sport world, I think we got our expert. So Donnie will be back. So thanks so much for being here, Donnie.
Yeah, great to see you. Thanks for inviting me. It was great to see you again. Appreciate it.
So thanks for listening, everybody, to the Move the Beans podcast, stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. Tune in to our next episode when we keep on highlighting just average, ordinary, awesome people with their great habits to really impact our lives. So until that time, we'll see you. Bye-bye. Move the beans. Bye.